You're listening to Surrounded by History, a podcast of the Blue Earth County Historical Society, produced by Radio Mankato with your host, Historical Society Executive Director Jessica Potter. And now, Surrounded by History.
Hello and welcome to Surrounded by History. I'm your host, Jessica Potter, with the Blue Earth County Historical Society. Joining me today is Radio Mankato's Jeff Lang. Each week, this program explores the history all around us, the history in plain sight. Jeff, we've chatted about Sibley Park in previous podcasts, but about a year ago, the Historical Society discovered a very interesting course of events to create a swimming lake at Sibley Park.
Okay.
Have you ever heard this story?
No.
Well, great, because I am super excited to share it with you today. So let's sit back, relax, and be surrounded by history. Okay, so we got to get our bearings, okay? A little bit of history lesson here back in, to get us put where we are in Sibley Park. Two rivers form the northern boundary of Blue Earth County and Mankato. The two rivers are, what are the two rivers?
The Minnesota and Blue Earth.
Thank you. And it's the confluence of those rivers.
Is this not a test? I'm sorry.
I loved it. So those rivers are natural attraction and a source of entertainment. Minnesota is, of course, the land of 10,000 lakes, and there are many lakes in Blue Earth County as well as rivers. But a century ago, it took some effort for town folks to easily get to those lakes if they needed to cool off. The rivers, however, were just a five-minute walk for most of Mankato's early population. So on a hot summer day with no air conditioning, a dip in the river always felt great.
Yeah.
The problem with river swimming was it was often polluted and potentially dangerous.
Even then,
or this is even worse. Okay. Originally, towns dumped their sewage directly into the rivers, as did factories and farms. Even the town dump for Mankato utilized the riverbank. That was down where Vetterstone Amphitheater was. That was the city dump.
Actually, I remember hearing that.
Right next to the river. Unlike lakes, river water levels are constantly fluctuating, making the current in them unpredictable. Dangerous obstacles lurking in the murky water like dead trees can easily snag a swimmer. What was a great place to swim one year could change the next with major spring flooding. River drownings were all too common through the years.
Oof.
Whenever it happened, the town elders became alarmed. They considered outlawing swimming in the river, but knew it would never work. Really, how would you police people swimming
right
in the river? The only alternative would be to create a safe place to swim with a sand beach and a clean bottom out of the strong currents. So, in 1898, Park Superintendent George Blake, we've talked about him before with Sibley Park, noted there was no suitable place around Mankato for river bathing. He suggested a bathhouse at Sibley Park on the Blue Earth River with a water slide, get this, from the top of the mound into the water. Wrap your head around that one. He also wanted a dance pavilion and lookout tower on top of the mound. None of his suggestions materialized.
Aww.
The first swimming beach was in 1901 on the Nicollet County side of the Minnesota River, north of the Main Street Bridge, which today we know was a little bit over from where today's Veterans Memorial Bridge is.
Okay.
There was an old canning factory building that was down there, and they used that as a bathhouse. Bathhouse would have been just where you would change into swim clothes
right
and things like that. Okay.
And I think now there's sets where people put in, I'm assuming it might be still the same area. I put them in a canoe there before.
Yeah.
So it's probably in that same location.
I bet it is. Nicollet County side was always a little bit easier to access the river from that side. So this site was convenient for people, and according to the health officer, Dr. Julius Hilscher, the river bottom sloped out gradually. So it was a safer spot. This spot was well patronized with between 150 to 200 people swimming every night
wow
in the summer of 1901. A special police officer patrolled the beach area, and swimsuits could be rented from the city for 5 cents.
I don't think I want to rent a swimsuit.
I'm either. In 1903, the Mankato City Council decided that they would rather have the swimming done at Sibley Park rather than the North Mankato side, and Park Superintendent Blake was authorized to build a bathhouse. This 20-room building was located on the banks of the Minnesota River just west of the park. Though it was located 150 feet from the river, there were two wooden plank walkways leading to the water. A partition divided the bathhouse with women on one end and men on the other. City workers installed timbers strung together and anchored 50 feet from the shore and extending 200 feet up and down the river to form a bathing or swimming pool.
Interesting.
A boat was kept manned and ready in case of accident happened to any of the bathers. And to help pay for the added expenses, bathing suit rentals went up to 10 cents.
Oh, boy.
All was good until August 31st, 1903, when 15-year-old Richard Olson drowned just before the beach officially opened for the day. To make things worse, and quite ironic, Richard's older brother, Olvin, had drowned in the Minnesota River 4 years earlier, also at the same age of 15 years old.
Sad.
The council immediately shut the beach down and moved to the bathhouse. People continued to swim in the rivers, and the need to have safe place was discussed through the years. 25 years later, in July of 1928, the Free Press reported a swimming beach had been created again on the North Mankato side of the Minnesota River. It was evidently popular as a, quote, continually changing group of about 50 people are found to be using the beach so that the number each day will run to perhaps 200, end quote. Observers noted the beach had some issues. Ready for this?
Oh, I don't know.
The area was unsanitary. Dead animals were continually found in the beach, within water by the beach, and just upstream from the beach was a running sewer line emptying into the river. Swimming proved to be dangerous as large rocks and boulders were located in the water and a big drop-off was located close to the shore and treacherous undercurrents made drowning probable. Not possible, probable. By this time...
How did you just choose that location?
I don't know either. I suppose it's the sandy beach.
Nobody looked at the sewage line?
No, it wasn't important back then. By this time, the idea of building a municipal swimming pool was starting to be floated. Another idea was to build a dam at the junction of the Blue Earth and Minnesota Rivers at Sibley Park and create a recreational lake. But then, in 1929, the stock market crashed, sending the country into the Great Depression. The thought of spending money on swimming was overtaken by just getting food on the table. I think this is a good spot for us to take a little bit of a break.
Good, because I still try to figure out this whole swimming next to the sewage pipe.
We'll be back in a moment.
Surrounded by History continues. We talk about a dam down at Sibley Park, which is exciting to learn about because I didn't know it actually existed. But as we kind of paint the picture off there, I think I know where there's still some remnants of it now.
All right, well, listen close.
I'm excited for you to continue.
Listen close, and we'll see if you're right. So back in December of 1934, after years of talk of a dam at the mouth of the Blue Earth River in Sibley Park, Mankato Mayor C.K. Mayer, the mayor.
He was made for the position.
No kidding. Signed a preliminary application to the State Emergency Relief Administration. They also were known as SERA or CERA for such an endeavor as this dam. CERA had actually been considering such a project for months. Mankato would be required to pay $10,000 of the cost, and the rest of the $40,000 estimated cost would be furnished by labor from people on county relief rolls. So what that means is this is during the Great Depression, so the State Emergency Relief Administration is one of those Depression-era program to bring us out of the Depression, and people on county relief rolls meant that they were people that were, I guess today we'd call it like on welfare.
Okay,
so they were getting county support, and so they were looking to put those people back to work by
giving them a job.
Gotcha. Which is what everybody was looking for during the Great Depression. The project, as outlined by Sierra Engineers, provided a 20-foot-long stone dam on the west end over the river.
Is it 200 or 20?
Oh, sorry, 200.
Okay, I was like, 20 wouldn't get you all the way across.
No, it wouldn't. Thank you. Little details. Too many zeros. From the east end of the dam was a 1,000-foot earthen dike heading east. From the other end of the dam was a 100-foot limestone dam with spillways extending south toward the park to let water through during high water periods. The lake would average 500 feet in width. The beach was 900 feet long and about 350 feet wide. The Blue Earth River would be affected for 4 miles upstream and would widen the stream slightly. When completed, a bathhouse and a boathouse would be developed, creating a considerable source of revenue to the city from the rental of lockers, boats, and canoes. No mention of swimsuits. The lake should be ideal for swimming purposes because it would be kept continually fresh by the flow of the river versus other stuff coming into
it. Right, right.
Mankato engineer Al Kircher, city officials, and the citizens were excited they could finally have a safe place to swim in the river. And an estimated 87 men would be employed for several months.
Was there no pools this time
yet?
Nope. Okay.
Nope. Graders and tractors dug and moved dirt and sand from the future lake bed and created the earthen dike. When that was done, a special machine was rented from the Waddell Company to dig a trench through the bottom to divert the flow of water from the Blue Earth River so the dam on the western edge could be constructed.
Okay.
Things kept rolling along, and the western dam was completed, as was the earthen dike. Then, midsummer, 1935, several factors forced the project to an abrupt halt. Sierra, the project engineers, disbanded. No longer needed
that
administration.
Nope. Yeah.
Then the Minnesota Department of Conservation Division of Waterways, this is before the Pollution Control Agency,
right,
before some of our other different departments, raised an objection. If that wasn't enough, the Army Corps of Engineers, under the jurisdiction of the War Department, were worried about the effect of the dam would have on the navigability of the Minnesota River. Where were all of these people before they started building, right?
Typical.
Yeah. So fortunately, though, after months of delay and as weeds started to take over the lake bed, which they had just spent a whole bunch of time pulling out, the Works Progress Administration, also known as the WPA, took over the project and it proceeded. On May 18, 1936, work resumed, and 1 year later, on June 23, 1937, the dam and the lake were dedicated. What a celebration it was. At 5:30 p.m., a banquet was held at the Sawpaw Hotel in downtown Mankato. At least 100 out-of-town guests, including WPA officials, were present. After the dinner, music, and speeches, a parade of cars led by the Highway Patrol and local police went from the hotel to Sibley Park. At the park, a crowd estimated at 8,000 people and 2,500 cars gathered around the band shell to hear the dignitaries speak. So I need to say the band shell at this time was on the side of Sibley Park where the softball fields are.
Oh, really? Okay.
There was an actual band shell. And where we're talking is really that softball field side of the park.
I was going to share that. I can see the remnants of this dam. I'm not sure if there's anything on the Sibley side, but I know I can see there's like a cement slab and more over on the Land of Memory side.
Oh, yeah. I've seen it from the Sibley side, and I haven't looked from the Land of Memory.
Okay.
So, yes, you can see it on both sides. So the state WPA chief told the crowd how proud the WPA was of their efforts in Minnesota. This project meant not only hard work, but bread and butter to the men assigned to the building of the dam. He then presented the dam to Mayor Armin Kleinschmidt.
Oh, no more Mayor?
No more Mayor. But Armin Kleinschmidt, that name might sound a little bit familiar. That was one of our previous podcasts about the carp packing plant.
Yeah, that's right. He had a carp packing plant downtown Mankato, and he serviced a bunch of World War II or World War I. It was World War II. All of them with canned carp, which sounds horribly disgusting.
But you want to learn more, you can check out that podcast.
I spoiled it.
So he presented the dam to the mayor. He was the representative for the people of Mankato. The city engineer was lauded as the, quote, man with the push. So he was the guy behind the job. And as darkness was setting in, a brilliant display of fireworks lit the dam and the lake in all colors of the rainbow. People went home that evening feeling satisfied that all was well.
Woo.
However.
Oh, no! What are you doing?
Unknown to most in attendance, a dark cloud was already hanging over the entire enterprise. In fact, 1 week before the dedication ceremony, where everybody was all boastful, 10-year-old John Kenny dove off the railing of the dam and was drawn through one of the floodgates, which had been left open due to the high water. A fisherman nearby saved the youth.
Oh, good.
That's good news. The same week, the State Board of Health declared the water in the lake to be impure and unsafe for swimming. And on the same day as the ceremony at the park, 15-year-old, does this sound familiar? 15-year-old.
Oh, my gosh. 15-year-old can't swim.
No. Raymond Shama drowned at the lake after he stepped into a hole on the bottom. Another youth that day needed to be pulled out of the lake after he also went into water over his head.
Oh, my gosh. What's it mean he stepped into a hole?
So, you know, with a river, you constantly have that flow.
Yeah.
So, meaning that there was probably a smaller, maybe a rock, and he maybe got his foot caught in the rock,
okay.
Or, you know, the bottom of it. He's using the bottom of the river, and he got himself trapped
or
something.
Wow.
And went over his head.
This is a cursed location.
Yeah. So, the council instantaneously outlawed swimming and ordered signs that read, "No swimming, deep pitch off." Robert Hopfenspringer, and I apologize if I said that wrong, was hired as the lifeguard at the new Sibley Lake. But within 6 days of the grand dedication celebration, he went from lifeguard to simply being a guard. His job was to keep people from entering the lake. After decades of citizens dreaming of a dammed-up lake in the river, 2 years of planning, and 2 years of building, the nearly $2 million project, which is estimated in today's dollars, became a boondoggle. There was no one...
Wait. What's a boondoggle?
Just an albatross around your neck.
What's an albatross?
I'm going to go ahead and Google it. Yeah,
thanks.
Just trust me. There was no one to blame. Swimming in the river was socially accepted, but despite its inherent danger. Building the dam to create a lake was a logical thing to do at the time. In addition, its construction provided jobs to the unemployed at the height of the Depression. Two things happened to make the disappointment a little less painful for local swimmers. First, 1 year later, in 1938, the city built a wading pool for youngsters at Sibley Park. We talked about that a little bit before. Mm-hmm. This was not a thing. So by 1938, it starts to be a thing.
Gotcha.
Also that same year, work began on Turtelot Pool, another WPA project, which is one of our previous podcasts.
That's correct.
The pool was completed in 1940 and provided a safe place for kids and adults to swim. Swimming in the river had become more and more unfashionable over the years as more pools became available and more family cars made trips to area lakes much easier.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you got to think of all of the circumstances.
We became more mobile.
Exactly. In the winters following the creation and quick demise of Sibley Lake, it was used by the Mankato Ice Company to cut large blocks of ice for its storehouses, because at this time ice is still being delivered to homes and businesses. And later years, the snow was cleared and a great ice skating rink was created. Then, in April of 1951, what do you think I'm going to say?
51. Was that one of the, I'm guessing it was a flood.
It was one of Mankato's all-time worst floods, occurred. the Minnesota and Blue Earth Rivers overflowed their banks. We've talked about this in a previous podcast, the details of it. Large, but now when you think about this dam, you kind of think about this flood differently. So large flows of ice were blocked by the Sibley Lake Dam, and water backed up the Blue Earth River, exacerbating the flooding issue.
Well, of course.
When the water receded, it was determined the dam had to be removed so it could not contribute to future flooding. Once the city got approval to remove the dam from the State Conservation Department, they put out a call, out a call for dynamite to be donated. Farmers were told to haul the boxes of dynamite to the city engineer's office on the third floor of City Hall.
Bring your dynamite down to City Hall.
Uh-huh.
Nice.
So just imagine farm trucks, pickup trucks, pulling up and unloading boxes and boxes of dynamite, hauling them up the stairs in City Hall. I can't even imagine.
Why did farmers have all this dynamite in the first place?
Well, you have to think about how they're breaking up their land.
I suppose.
You know,
okay, rocks and everything else.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. So on January 9th, 1952, contractors drilled holes in the dam and inserted 1,000 sticks of dynamite.
Wow.
After advising onlookers to clear the area, the fuse was lit, and within seconds, one-third of the dam was no more. Spectators had gathered at the highway pullout on Lookout Drive. You know
yep.
what I'm talking about?
The scenic overlook.
The scenic overlook. That was Highway 14 at this time. The debris from the blast spread out over a wide area, including a 7-pound chunk that landed on the bumper of a car that was up on Lookout Drive.
That's a long
distance.
They used too much dynamite.
Exactly. As debris rained down on and everyone that was there, they all scattered for cover.
This whole location has been in trouble from day one.
I know. In the coming week, two more explosions would occur to get rid of the remaining sections. The dam project permanently changed the course of the Blue Earth River. The parts of the dam that remain today look as sturdy as the day they were built and is a testament to the quality of work done by the WPA workers. What had been the beach along the shore of the lake near Sibley Park is now a 10 to 12 foot high bank of sediment left by decades of flooding. Some would look at the whole project as a monumental folly. Perhaps it's better to look at it as a noble effort by people doing what they thought best in a very different time in our history.
I think I'd call it a boondoggle.
We sure hope you enjoyed today's program as we discover the story behind the Sibley Park Dam and Lake. All of the information we share today comes from the archives of the Blue Earth County Historical Society, including a very special article written and researched and written by Tim Pulis for the Historical Society publication. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, we hope you see the history that surrounds you.
You've been listening to Surrounded by History, a podcast from the Blue Earth County Historical Society, produced by Radio Mankato. For more information on this and other topics, visit BlueEarthCountyHistory.com or stop by the Blue Earth County History Center at 424 Warren Street in Mankato. Thanks for listening to Surrounded by History.